All right, thank you both for joining us by phone. I know this is a little tricky since you are both on the phone, but just please know that I will let you know when you can speak. Please don't interrupt when we're talking, and I will let, like I said, I will let you both know when it is your turn to speak. So we are on section number 3, the informal interview for Dr. Gupta. Let's see, this is the time and place scheduled for the informal interview of Dr. Gupta in case number 2422. This matter will be heard by the board pursuant to the authority given to it at ARS 322234. Dr. Gupta, please come forward and please state your name for the record, and then your counsel will as well. So go ahead, Dr. Gupta, if you'll just say your name for the record.
Yes.
Dr. Gupta, this is David Stoll. Just say your name for now.
Nilin Gupta.
And David Stoll, appearing as legal counsel for Dr. Gupta.
Great, thank you. Dr. Gupta, you have received a letter informing you the matters to be discussed today and the possible actions the board may take at this informal interview. As a reminder, those options include dismissal, issuing you a non-disciplinary letter of concern, censuring you, placing your license on probation with terms that may include continuing education and practice restrictions. The board may also suspend your license for up to 30 days, assess a civil penalty, or refer this matter to a formal hearing. The purpose of this informal interview is to inquire into the facts and circumstances of this case. The board has read all of the materials you have submitted. If you or your legal counsel have any additional materials you would like to present to the board, please do so now.
We have no additional materials.
Thank you. This proceeding is being digitally recorded. As a result, it is important that everyone speak loudly and clearly and that only one person speaks at a time. We will begin by asking the lead board member assigned to this matter to give a brief summary of the case, and then you will be given an opportunity to respond. Following your response, the board may wish to ask you some questions. If present, the complainant will also be given an opportunity to address the board. If you have any questions for the board or anyone giving information during this interview, you may ask them through me. Dr. Nosley, can you please give us a brief summary of the case?
Yes. On July 14th, 2023, Caesar, a 6-year-old male domestic short hair, was presented to the respondent due to a urinary bladder obstruction. Diagnostics were performed to confirm the blockage and elevated kidney values. Respondent sedated the cat and unblocked the urethra. The urinary catheter was tied in place and the bladder was flushed with saline. Respondent recommended referral to an emergency facility. The complainant declined, and therefore the respondent offered to care for the cat overnight. During the night, it was determined that the cat could not express his bladder on his own. Further blood work indicated stage 4 kidney disease and post-renal azotemia. On July 15th, 2023, the respondent reported to the complainant that the cat had bladder atony, stage 4 kidney disease. The complainant elected to humanely euthanize the cat.
Thank you. Dr. Gupta, at this time, I would like to swear you in. Do you swear or affirm that the evidence you are about to give will be the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
I do.
Okay, thank you. Dr. Gupta, we would now like to give you an opportunity to respond to the summary and present whatever information you believe is relevant.
Thank you. As you can tell, English is a second language for me. So if you do not understand any of my testimony today, I will be happy to repeat it for you. I must say that I am surprised that this case has gone on this far after I did so much for this honor and after the investigative committee recommended that the complaint be dismissed. As you have just heard, I was presented with a blocked cat on July 14th, 2023. We were very busy that day, but I agreed to see owner's cat because she could not get into her regular van. After physical examination of Caesar, I strongly recommend to owner that she take her cat to emergency facility because I was concerned about the cat's condition and he may block again. instead of going to the emergency facility, as I recommended, the owner pleaded with me to continue to care for her cat. So I agreed to keep the cat with me and provide care overnight, even though I do not operate a 24-hour facility. This is not something that I routinely do, and honestly, after this experience, I do not think I will do it ever again. Medically, I handled this case appropriately, and I want you to know that I thoroughly reviewed the lab results and appreciated the abnormal findings. At the time, I believed those values to be consistent with a urethral obstruction. They are values that are common seen with blood cats. However, in order to assess seizure kidney function, and I recommended a SGMA test. The SGMA test showed the following. There was a value of 47 and the normal range is 0 to 14. This was indicative of impaired GFR, glomerular GFR filtration rate and kidney function. The SGMA values were also indicative of stage 4 kidney disease. The elevated values of both creatinine and SGMA indicated of severe azotemia, which can be reversible or irreversible depending on the treatment. I explained all of this to the owner, specifically that seizure was not improving during hospitalization and that the SGMA test indicated stage 4 kidney disease due to acute or chronic urinary infection, which might be reversible or irreversible after treatment. I also told her that during hospitalization, seizure bladder continued to obstruct with urinary crystals and that he could not express his urinary bladder by himself. I told her that urinary bladder atony had developed because there had been a long delay in getting him in for treatment. Finally, I advised against discharging seizure home in this condition, that he would suffer and had a guarded prognosis and needed intensive care, treatment and hospitalization, which cost additional money, and also suggested for referral to ER again. It was after that conversation that the owner elected human euthanasia. Again, I handled this case appropriately, even going above and beyond the call of duty by keeping him overnight with me. I am now available to answer any questions you may have.
Great. Thank you. Thank you, Dr. Gupta. Do any board members have questions?
Hi, Dr. Gupta, this is Dr. Nosley.
Yeah,
you stated that after you reviewed the blood work that you performed, you called the owner to get permission to run a T4 SDMA. And
yes.
So I am unclear as to why you wanted the results at this point of an SDMA test.
So initially, I wasn't have approval for the SDMA test. When I saw the BU and creatinine elevated, then I want to assess the kidney function. So that's why I needed approval for SDMA test.
So you were going to use SDMA for prognosis regarding the kidney disease. Am I understanding that correctly?
Yes.
Okay, you stated in your record that you passed a urethral catheter and relieved the obstruction and sutured the catheter in place.
Yes.
Correct? Okay.
Yes.
When was that catheter removed?
It was removed, his urethral catheter was intact and placed until he was euthanized.
So it stayed, he remained catheterized when he was, until and after he was euthanized. Am I understanding that clearly? Okay.
Yes.
Okay. So when you were caring for Caesar overnight, you state that Caesar could not express his bladder. And so at this point in time, the catheter was in place.
Yes.
when he could not express his bladder?
I did manually, but seizure cannot express by himself.
Through the catheter?
Yeah, through the catheter. So I flushed urethral catheter through saline, and I manually express his bladder, but he cannot be able to express by his own.
In your experience in dealing with obstructed cats that have a catheter in place, do they normally express their bladder? Let me be more clear. In terms of urination, or we sometimes say micturition, the contraction of the bladder and the abdominal press, that's how you express. So are you saying that he could not do that through the catheter?
Yes. Usually when I unblock and pass catheter, and they should urinate, they are not urinating, but urine is coming out because catheter is in.
Right.
But in seizure case, urine is not coming out and is keep blocking by the urinary crystal.
Okay.
So that's why I have to express manually.
So I understand that as far as the catheter becoming obstructed, but I was referring more to your characterization that he couldn't express his bladder. So do you mean he couldn't pass urine through an obstructed catheter? Is that?
Yes, so urine is not coming out through the catheter. So catheter was keep obstructed with the crystal, so I have to flush catheter with saline and manually express his bladder.
So how would you determine based on that the bladder, he had bladder apnea?
In the long standing case like him, because the long waiting time, there could be possibility, there is multiple things, like, you know, because the urine is not coming out from catheter, that he might have inflammation or is blocking with the urinary crystals, or he might have bladder atonia, which happened in the long standing case. So urine wasn't coming out.
Okay. And so the catheter was in place and you had to flush it multiple times.
Yes.
And then manually express.
Yes. And when I do manually express, then urine is coming out.
Okay. Can you explain the rationale for discontinuing the IV fluids and switching to subcutaneous?
The thing is that I do not want to overload him with the fluid, and since he cannot be able to express his bladder and keep obstructing his bladder, there could be chances like of distended bladder or bladder might be ruptured. So I was a little bit worried about it. So I switched off the IV fluid and turned to the subcutaneous fluid.
And in your experience, giving subcutaneous fluids can result in diuresis of a cat with a above analyzer range creatinine? Sub-Q fluids are effective in promoting diuresis in a patient with a creatinine above analyzer range.
No, sub-Q fluid I just give to keep him hydrated because he was dehydrated.
So diuresis because of the azotemia was not the reason for the IV fluids or the sub-Q fluids, it was dehydration?
Yes.
Okay. Can you explain the rationale for administering 5% dextrose solution to counter the high potassium?
It is potassium was elevated, so when potassium was elevated, we need to give dextrose IV so that intracellular potassium absorption happened because potassium was elevated too high.
I didn't get that explanation.
Did you say that the potassium was too high?
Yes.
Okay, I'm sorry, go ahead.
That is why I have to give dextrose IV in order to potassium absorb intracellularly, means like potassium get absorbed and those values come back down.
So directly, what does the dextrose solution do as opposed to a different solution in terms of the potassium?
Can you please repeat that again?
Okay, so you switched to a dextrose solution. This is when he was still on IVs. And you did that because to counter the high potassium. So my question was, specifically, what about the dextrose was going to combat the high potassium? Or was it just, you tell me.
Dextrose help in the absorption of potassium back. So that's why we have to administer IV dextrose. Sometimes if it does not happen, then even though we have to administer insulin, but I just did administer dextrose so that potassium, intracellular absorption of potassium happens.
Okay. Thank you. I heard you that time. So we leave that for discussion. So I don't have any other questions.
Okay. I have a question. This is Dr. Wright. In relation to the SDMA test, what was your intent with that test?
SDMA values were highly elevated, so I just want to assess kidney function.
Can you use SDMA in a blocked cat to assess kidney function?
The means BU and creatinine is elevated, so I just want to assess SDMA, that how the kidney is functioning, because BU and creatinine can elevate it in the post-renal azotemia.
Well, SDMA is basically directly correlated with glomerular filtration rate. If
yes.
you have a blocked cat, you're not going to have any filtration. So by default, it's going to go up. So what is that actually
right.
telling us about stage 4 kidney disease?
So that's why I educated Honor that SDMA test, those values can be reverted back to the normal or cannot be reverted to back, because sometimes it happens like kidney failure. So those are like, you know, reversible or irreversible, depend on the treatment and depend on the urinary infection.
Doctor, can you speak slowly for the court reporter, please?
Yes, so SDMA, based on the SDMA test, I educated client that values are not only for the block obstruction, those values can be reversible or cannot be reversible. It depends on the treatment, but that will help in the prognosis.
Okay, thank you.
Okay, do any other board members have questions for Dr. Gupta? Okay, thank you. So Dr. Gupta, I'll just have you hang tight now, okay? And we'll let you know when it's your turn to speak again, okay?
Okay.
Thank you. So now, Ms. Kathleen Seymour, I would like to swear you in.
Yes.
Okay. Do you swear or affirm that the evidence you're about to give will be the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
Yes.
Thank you. We know you're the complainant in this case, and we've read the materials that you have submitted, and you may now address the board. If you have anything further you want to share, or we can open it up to questions as well, whatever you would like.
I just wanted to, because I was taking notes with everything that was being said, and Dr. Gupta was saying that he advised me to take him to an ER, which we don't have locally. So I don't remember him ever telling me that he would be or best to be taken to an ER. I dropped him off at approximately 11 a.m. on the 14th. And they did like a preliminary list of what they were planning on doing. And they said that I could pick him up the next morning. So that's what I was expecting, that I would be picking him up. I was never advised of any of these things that he's talking about. And that I was pleading for help, or whatever he said about me pleading for help. I was having a challenge of getting appointments with other vets, and they were kind enough to take me in, but I never knew that it was this serious. And he had never advised me of all these other tests that, I mean, I feel like these tests could have been done prior to putting him through all this extra pain and stuff. If it was that serious that he had to be put down, I think on the first day, they should have been able to read that until the next day. I waited till 11 or 12 when they said I could pick him up in the morning, and they never called. And I called because it was getting later and later, and I was getting more worried. And they told me that it was actually a Saturday, so they told me that Dr. Gupta was out shopping. I didn't understand that. They said that he would call me when he got back into the office. So he did eventually call me, and he was saying that Caesar was having the kidney failure and that it would be best to put him down. But I don't understand why all these other tests were ran when initially it seems like you should be able to tell all these things before you run all these painful tests on the animal. If he had kidney failure, then kidney failure should have just been kidney failure, and there's no hope for a kidney failure. So why all these extra things were done to him? That's all.
Okay, thank you. Do any board members have questions for the complainant?
Hi, this is Dr. Gosley again. In the morning when you received a voicemail from the respondent asking for permission to run additional tests that over and above what had already been done,
was there,
I'm getting to my question. Was there anything on the voicemail about the tests that had already been run?
So
what I'm asking is, these blood tests that we're talking about, mm-hmm. that were initially run on Caesar, did you, when you were asked about running some more tests, were the results of the initial tests discussed with you?
No, I dropped him off around 11 a.m. on the 14th, which was a Friday. When I left him, they just took him back. I was under the impression I was going to pick up a live cat the next morning, and they said, I went to the register, and they had a printout, and I'm just assuming that I'm doing the right thing and that they're doing the right thing. And they said, this is what's going to happen, and it was almost $1,000, and I was like, fine. So we did that. I never got any voicemail. I never got any call from him. I called the next morning because it kept getting later and later in the day, and I was like, something's going on because I should have already gotten a call to come take him up. I called.
Okay. Is that all?
And I didn't hear any about anything like beyond whatever was on that initial printout of everything, where they print everything out and the cost of how much it's going to be. I didn't know anything after that initial $1,000.
Okay, thank you. What I'm getting at is, these blood test results were not given to you when you were asked permission to run the additional blood test. Whether it was a voicemail you were responding to or you called, did you give permission to run the additional test?
No, I only gave the permission on that first itinerary, that first readout of all the stuff and the prices that went with it.
Okay, so I
gave permission after, when I called him the next morning. He basically said what he just said about you have to make him go potty because he wasn't able to go, so they had to force him or whatever. That's what he said and then that it would be best to put him down, but he wasn't going to judge me for that.
Yeah.
That's all he said.
I'm trying to get at the morning, when he first came in, not the next day.
Okay.
Okay. That morning, did you give permission to run the additional test? You had already run the first test. He called you or you called him and he asked to run another test. Is that correct or not correct?
No. After I dropped Caesar off that morning and I got that paper that has everything broken down and I paid the $1,000, I never heard from them again, any of them, until the next day when I tried to call them because I wasn't getting called back.
Okay. All right.
Ms. Seymour, I have a question. Did Dr. Gupta ask or direct you to take Caesar to a 24-hour facility, or did he offer to keep your cat overnight? What was the discussion on that?
Okay, he never told me to take him to emergency facility. He said that they will keep him overnight and that I would be picking him up the next morning. That's what I was expecting, that I would be picking him up with medication or problem resolved.
So you never knew that he was going to stay at the clinic overnight to care for your cat? He didn't share that?
I knew that Caesar was going to be overnight in that facility. Who was going to be with him overnight, I have no idea.
And so he never asked whether... Well, he never asked you to take it to another facility, so you never said
no.
Yes or no?
No.
Okay. Do any board members have any further questions? Okay. So now, Ms. Seymour, again, I just have you hang tight on the phone and listen in.
Yes.
Okay. Thank you. Now, Dr. Gupta, do you or your legal counsel have any additional remarks or questions?
This is David Stoll. I would just like to point out we've got a he said, she said situation that's developed here. And as the board often does, I would encourage you to look at the actual medical record to confirm what was said between the client and the doctor. And beginning on the bottom of page 4 of the medical record under client communication, this is Dr. Gupta's entry. Discussed with owner that pet has blocked urethra, radiograph indicated enlarged distended bladder, blood work indicated elevated values of creatine and BUN, got approval for T4 and SDMA tests in order to ensure kidney function. And then in that same entry, at the bottom of the paragraph, it says recommended referral for emergency. Since there is no emergency hospital around, we can hospitalize pet and do treatment. And that's what he did. I kind of wish Mr. Logie was here because I've heard him say on prior occasions that no good deed goes unpunished. And this veterinarian, even though he's not a 24-hour facility, he stayed with the cat by himself overnight providing treatment and doing everything he could in this case. And unfortunately, the cat didn't become unblocked, and the owner ultimately elected euthanasia. But he went above and beyond, and I think he said in his opening statement that that's not something that he's going to do anymore going forward, because he ended up getting a board complaint. As the investigative committee noted, Dr. Gupta handled this case appropriately. I understand that when you reviewed this case, you wanted to have ask some questions about the communications he had with the owner. We do, as I said, have a he said, she said. And I would just encourage you to go with the medical record that was contemporaneous. It was time stamped. And if you do that, I believe that you'll dismiss the case with no violation. If you have any questions or concerns about surrounding some of the other tests that were done and why they were done, I think he explained why they were done. But if you don't necessarily agree, at most that would warrant a letter of concern. Doctor, do you have anything else you want to add?
Means like you already stated, but everything is in the medical record.
Okay. Thank you. Are there any additional questions from board members? Okay. This concludes the portion of the informal interview in which the board hears testimony. The board will now deliberate and decide what to do in this matter.
Madam Chair, I have a question of the veterinarians on the board about administering dextrose to a cat with a glucose of 245.
So that's just a stress hyperglycemia at that point, so not a diabetic thing. Okay. And when you, Dr. Gupta is correct, if you have a high potassium, giving dextrose does drive that potassium into the cells. So it's a way of bringing it down. Sometimes you have to give a CRI of insulin along with it. Sometimes you can just give the sugar alone. Being a blocked cat, just unblocking them and giving them the fluids is going to drive it down, but I don't see a problem with the dextrose. There's good reasoning behind that, in my opinion.
Thank you.
Calcium gluconate is the treatment for high potassium.
Yeah, that'll stabilize the heart, but it's not going to drive potassium down.
Diuresis is going to drive it
down. Yeah, exactly. Yeah, and then really with a blocked cat, once you unblock them, the kidneys start working immediately.
Would you agree that diuresis would be your primary?
And that's my concern right now.
Yeah, okay. Yeah.
Okay. All right.
Okay.
So, take it away.
So I do see some issues with this case and a general failure to understand some of the basic evaluation and treatment protocols for obstructed cats. I think, well, let's talk about the SDMA first. That's a measure of GFR, glomerular filtration rate, how the kidneys are filtering fluid as they come through. When you're obstructed, there is no, or very, very minimal. And it's not the kind of test where, like a fructosamine, where you look back, at where it looks back on kidney, it tells you what's happening in the kidneys right then. So I don't understand why it was used for prognosis, because he seemed to rely very, very heavy on the SDMA to assess prognosis. And he couldn't get the SDMA, and he was waiting to get the SDMA so he could ascertain this prognosis. When he had the prognosis in front of him, it's whether those values are going to come down with treatment or not. It isn't an SDMA that's going to help you.
I agree. It's I don't think we had enough time to kind of see a change in there, but the SDMA being high in a blocked cat,
Sorry, Dr. Gupta, this is our discussion time only, okay?
The only thing, and when reading this case and realizing that that was going to be used for prognostic purposes, and it's designed as a screening test for early, before renal values begin to elevate, I had to ask myself, I need to look at that. And the only thing I could find was, well, you can use it somewhere during your treatment plan as a baseline. So recovering from here out, how are we gonna get these kidneys recovering? You could use SDMA then.
But staying high for 3 to 5 days afterwards, yeah, there's something deeper going on.
Right.
But yeah, in that moment, I don't see it being useful to test.
Okay. And then the proper treatment for the hyperkalemia, okay. I'm glad we had the discussion about that. Utilizing the proper treatment for protocols for feline urinary obstruction, I was originally very concerned that the respondent kept referring to he couldn't urinate. But I think from what we heard was he was really saying the catheter kept obstructing.
Yeah, I don't know exactly, because he said that as he manually expressed it was coming out, but my thing with that is, again, like you said, diuresis is the big thing. We have here in the records IV fluid therapy LRS at 15 mils per hour for 2 hours.
Yeah,
that's nowhere near adequate.
Yeah, right.
And then 100 mils of sub-Q fluids, again, yeah, that's nowhere near adequate. So we're not producing PEEKs, we're not getting any fluid.
Right.
So we're not, I think that's the major issue.
So is. I do too, but so what do you think about this inability to void?
I have better in place. Yeah, I mean, there's definitely going to be bladder atony when you have that stretched out bladder. It's going to take some time for it to go through. I think really
what it can recover.
Yeah, I think what it comes down to is this cat needed more time.
Another question, Dr. Gosley and Dr. Wright, is when he was questioned about it, he stated that he manually expressed it through the catheter.
And he flushed it, and he flushed the crystals.
Which is appropriate again. As that bladder, as those muscles stretch out, they're not intercalating well to get in there and start contracting down again. So it takes time for it to kind of come down and get back to normal. But again, this was all made up.
Can my folks on the phone mute, please? We're getting some feedback on the other ends.
Yeah, so it seems like a lot of decisions were made in like the first hour.
For sure. So as to your point then, I would say that there was a failure to follow the proper protocols for the treatment of the azotemia. Just what you're saying, that's
diuresis.
Vigorous diuresis.
Exactly, I'd have been running at 40 mils an hour.
I would too, yeah. So, I would make a motion 32-22-32-12 as it relates to R311-511. Failure to follow professionally acceptable procedures and use of current professional scientific knowledge in not, and I would say following the protocols for using SDMA correctly. The hyperkalemia, I'm satisfied with that. I think the urinary obstruction, I think what he was saying was the catheter was just blocked, so I'm not gonna go there. And lastly, the big one of the failure to adequately treat the azotemia. So those are the two things I would leave in that failure, the using the SDMA for prognosis, not using it for its intended purpose, and then not following the proper protocols for the treatment of the azotemia.
Yeah, I'll second that motion. I agree. I think at the beginning, everything started off the right way, but I think we kind of went off track after that.
Yeah. Okay, so we have a motion and a second to find violations in this case. Is there any further discussion? Okay, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Motion passes. The board has voted to find a violation in the case of 2422. This concludes this matter, and Dr. Gupta, you will receive a written confirmation of the board's action shortly. At next month's meeting, the board will consider adopting proposed findings of fact and conclusions of law, and after doing so, will then discuss and adopt disciplinary action. This concludes the informal interview. Thank you both for participating via phone today. We are now going to disconnect the call.